Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. I want to thank you all for your warm wishes and thoughts after my father passed away 2 weeks ago. So many, literally hundreds of you reached out, sent your thoughts, prayers, and love. I was blown away. Thank you. Spending time with my family during memorial services made me think about stories of my dad, as well as stories of his dad who'd passed away many years ago. You ever frighten yourself when you couldn't recall a family story or experiences you know you had to have been recounted to you many times by your grandparents? You ever wonder why you know very little about the personal lives of your grandparents or even great-grandparents? Well, Aaron Holt of the National Archives and Records Administration in Fort Worth, Texas, says that it only takes three generations to lose a piece of oral family history. If you want to avoid losing those precious family stories passed down through the generations, Holt says, the story must be purposely and accurately repeated over and over again through the generations to be preserved. The notion that my family's narratives could be lost in three generations gave me the resolve to ensure that that didn't happen on my watch. Having a podcast allows me to do some of that, and for the sake of my posterity as well as yours, I've begun a new Not Old Better show with a focus on genealogy titled Backstory, Family is Everything. Genealogy is the second most popular hobby in the country with more than 113 million participants and researchers. Staggering. Most people want to know more about their roots, origins, home life, work life, social status, relationships, migrations, marriages, health, attitudes, customs, folklore, clothing, foods, environment, and the social issues in the news during the time in which their ancestors lived. And that's what we'll talk about. And I think you'll learn a lot, enjoy the journey together, and find out something interesting about your roots. Today's show is a great one, and we'll hear an author story from an anthology of articles written in the McClatchy newspaper system in California. The first story by author V.J. Vogelzang in her book Beautiful Days is a great one. And yes, V.J. Vogelzang is my mom, and I thought, given my father's passing, it made sense to start with some of my mom's writing for purposes of our first oral family history. Welcome to the very first inaugural Not Old Better show, Backstory, Family is Everything. Beautiful Days by V.J. Vogelzang. The title of this book refers to two things. The first, and most important, is the pleasure I receive from writing. Every day that I write is a joy, a beautiful day. This work is a collection of beautiful days. Beautiful Days also refers to a piece of sheet music that was autographed for me during World War II by Ezra Stone, the popular radio personality Henry Aldrich. Stone wrote, "Beautiful days will be when we are all civilians again." 60 years later, I remember the event and still cherish the wish for peace. The articles begin with the first of mine ever published. I was attending a writing class at Modesto Junior College. Will Sims, the teacher, announced that he would give an A to those of us who had an article published. I got an A for Stop Pursuing Happiness, and I began pursuing writing with fervor. The articles, essays, and poetry I have chosen to include in this volume are about as close as I can come to leaving an ethical will. The idea behind such a document, an ethical will, is simple. If a person leaves behind no one who remembers his or her values and character, that person then dies a second death, being forgotten forever. It's my hope that my writing will speak for me. Stop Pursuing Happiness by V.J. Vogelzang. Stop pursuing happiness and let it catch you. Those words come to my mind as I look around at friends and acquaintances busy driving children to lessons, to dental appointments, to school on rainy days. I see them on my way taking my kids to the same places. They are taking cooking classes, tennis lessons, and needlepoint. They are working on fundraising projects for charities. They are grocery shopping and cleaning house. While All these are wholesome, admirable, necessary pursuits. Many of these women appear tense, frustrated, and seldom happy. A young mother of three said to me, "I learned from you. As an older woman whose children are growing up, you've had more experience." I twitched. I'm not that old, well, middle-aged, but her words set me to thinking about one of the most important things I've learned as the years have passed: how to handle the panicky feeling of having too much to do. I used to wince at the adage, "Enjoy your children while they're young, they grow up all too soon." How, I ask, could I enjoy them when I was so busy? Telling myself to relax never helped. What do you want to be when you grow up? I remember my answer to that question. I wanted to be a good wife and mother. That sounds embarrassingly unsophisticated now, but it was honest and still applies. To be successful, I certainly needed to become calmer and happier. Suddenly, I noticed that I had turned off the vacuum, poured myself a cup of tea, and was sitting comfortably on the sofa. Thus, accidentally, I found a method of calming myself when the pressures mount. I still use this remedy. I simply stop, pour myself a cup of tea, and sit down. Not that it's easy. My mind is cluttered with thoughts and my body tugs to get going. A precious hour or two may pass, but if I stick with this system, I am able to focus on priorities. I'm able to attack chores with vigor and dispatch and still have some time for leisure. During this time, I have a chance to look at myself and ask some questions. What exactly am I so busy doing? Which activities are necessary to the routine well-being of my family? Which are the most satisfying and rewarding to me? I have a limited amount of time, and I want to make choices. I do. Dr. Roy Menninger of the Menninger Clinic in Topeka, Kansas, alluded to this when he was interviewed recently on a TV talk show. He said that if people made a list of the things that were important to them to do and then referred to their date book of the previous week, they would find a wide discrepancy. Many people do not take the time to figure out what is important in their lives. It was possible and beneficial to balance my workload and my fun load. I begin doing less and enjoying more. A list helps. I write down everything to do and tag what has to be done today, tomorrow, or can wait until next week. We all need time alone to grow and mature. When I give myself time to contemplate, I feel a sense of my own strength, my own capabilities. Holding up in my own house, ceasing all outside activities, and becoming a recluse is not what I'm advocating. Not at all. But it is helpful to me to stop everything when I feel pressured. And I find I can almost always stop what I'm doing. I don't quit in the middle of preparing dinner, of course, but as soon as it's over, I stop and sit down. Nothing is more important than getting myself together. Only then can I function effectively. Time to myself is not the only benefit of taking a break. I discovered that sitting in one spot invites company. Family members often join me and we talk to one another. Mostly small talk, but sometimes serious. During these intervals, I learn a lot that I am certain I would not know otherwise. I now have more unplanned time for spur-of-the-moment happenings and I enjoy my home more. I spend a lot of time and effort, not to mention expense, making it attractive and maintaining it. So I take the time to appreciate its comforts. My taking off a few hours will not make me a lazy slob. I refuse to read negative books and articles, the ones about housewives who lead dull, monotonous lives and ask, "Isn't there more than this to life? Who needs it?" It is still up to each of us to make our lives eventful and meaningful to ourselves. So I relax. I take it easy. I look at other women, and I'm able to distinguish between those who are frantically chasing happiness and those who let happiness catch them. I hope you've enjoyed today's show, our newest backstory, Family is Everything, and my thanks to my mom, BJ Vogelsang, for her willingness to be the first author oral history we share. As usual, We'll post links to everything. And also, as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me today. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, or send me email at info@notold-better.com. info@notold-better.com. Stay tuned for our next show, another great one, as we talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks to all, and happy holidays.